Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The words for our devotion this morning are recorded in St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians in the first chapter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. This is our text. That's one of the most important words used in the Bible to describe God's love for us and what he has done for us. In fact, that word is used so often in the Bible and in preaching that it might sometimes become just a little bit too commonplace for us. It's also used in some different senses that are certainly not directly rooted in the Bible's usage. So we might describe a dancer or an athlete as being graceful, and we talk about saying grace at the table. So if the sense of the word grace has grown somewhat too broad for us, or even too dull for us, then we must go back to God's word itself to refresh its biblical meaning for us. One of the words that is used, of course, charis, is the root of the word charity, which we often think about in terms of giving, and that might send us off in the right direction. It's giving, but it's somebody else giving something to us. Now, Paul does take us back to the roots of it in his letter to the Ephesians. Especially, St. Paul packs into one really compact summary in what the word grace means in this passage that many of us know from the second chapter. By grace are you saved through faith, and not that faith of yourselves. It, this faith, is the gift of God, not of your own working, so that you have nothing to boast about it. And over again, that theme is repeated by the apostle, and St. Paul, along with the other New Testament writers, is never very far away from this proclamation of the grace of God. Now, our lesson today from the first chapter of Ephesians emphasizes this divine act of grace in our salvation. And it's talking about our salvation from beginning to end, to the praise of the glory of his grace, Paul says. God has chosen us in Christ before the world began. He has predestined, a scary word, he has predestined us to adoption. He himself has made us accepted in Christ Jesus. Now, all of this points very precisely to God's power alone acting for our salvation. Grace alone is the way our Lutheran Reformation expressed it. In its primary sense, grace is not a seed that God plants in our hearts, which enables us to do something that is pleasing to Him, which enables us to be righteous and to therefore become acceptable and likable to Him. Rather, this grace is what God Himself is, showing His love unconditionally and completely. Every blessing that we have in Christ comes by this grace. That means that the believer, the Christian, the child of God, cannot even contemplate existing in any sense apart from this Christ Jesus. St. Paul says that God chose us in Him, that is, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. Now that is something astounding. God's foundation of the world was the beginning of time. Before time began as a creation of God, there was only eternity, which is timelessness. And that means that before anything was, God knew you and He loved you. He saw absolutely nothing in you that could move Him to want to choose you. But He did choose. He did choose you and make you His own. Paul says He chose us to be holy and without blame. He didn't choose us to be holy and without blame because we already were holy and without blame. But He chose us to be holy and without blame in order to make us holy and without blame. His purpose was to adopt us as His own children, giving us the status of the son of a king who inherits the riches and the position of his father. And this adoption takes place in the person of his son from eternity. In time, that son becomes our brother in the flesh. And just as all things belong to him, this only begotten son of the Father, full of grace and truth, the same is to be said of those who can call him brother, because he has shared our flesh. And Paul repeats, this is according to the pleasure of his will. That is, this is what the Almighty himself determined to do. It pleased him to do it. He didn't do it because he had to, but it pleased him to do it. God Himself, the timeless Father from eternity, wills that we should be His children. And by His will alone, He makes us accepted in the Beloved, in Christ, His beloved Son. And that takes us to the heart of the gospel of God's grace, the gospel of the forgiveness of sins. That is God's work alone. It's His work alone in Christ to make you acceptable to His divine, holy, perfect will, to conform you to His expectation. He takes those who are separated from His holiness and perfection by sin, to those who have become alien to God and apart from Him by their own corruption. And He has brought them near to Him, as near as children are to their brothers and sisters and to their father and mother. And how has He made us acceptable? He has made us acceptable simply by placing His Son in our places God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Lord is our righteousness. He enters death himself in order to defeat death for us. And he rises to life as our assurance that death has been swallowed up once and for all in victory. Our God of grace sees us through him and in him and regards us as righteous as his Son. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, we hear in the Transfiguration Gospel. And now by his gospel and grace, he speaks all that also to those who are made holy and without blame through faith in his Son. Praise be to the glory of his grace. Amen.